Hi, good evening, and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KDIA. Tonight on the show, we'll spend some time with one of our state's dominant geographical and cultural features, the Missouri River. First, we're going to talk with a local woman who was just the third person ever that we know of to ride a kayak from the headwaters of the Big Muddy clear to the Gulf of Mexico. An inspirational trip, and it sounds like at times a little scary, too. That's a fun one. Then we'll also tell you tonight about a group that's dedicated to keeping the cultural heritage, particularly the music of our part of the state along the Missouri River, alive. They've got a fun event coming in a couple of weeks, and we'll tell you all about that as well. That's all ahead tonight, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Well, good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. Got a terrific program for you this evening. First of all, we are going to have Janet Moreland along, and man, has she got a story to tell. She rode a kayak from the headwaters of the Missouri River clear up in Montana all the way down to the Missouri River, all the way down the Missouri River, right past Jefferson City and all of mid-Missouri, Boonville and Roachport and all those places, to the Mississippi River in St. Louis, and then down to the Gulf of Mexico at New Orleans. It's a fascinating story. We'll tell you all about that in just a moment. Later on this evening's program, we're going to introduce you to the Missouri River Cultural Conservancy. If you're not already aware of these guys, you ought to be. They're doing some terrific stuff, helping preserve the culture of our region, particularly the music, the poetry, and a lot of other things. They've got a fun event coming up in just a couple of weeks over at the Blue Note that you're going to want to know about as well. That's all ahead this evening. Going to be a good show. Thinking Out Loud. Stick around. All right, it's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Tonight we're going to meet a woman from here in Columbia that's really got a remarkable story. Just about a year ago, she took a trip from the headwaters of the Missouri River Basin to the Missouri, all the way down the Missouri River to St. Louis, and then down the Mississippi into New Orleans. So it's really a fun, incredible story. Janet Moreland is with us. And Janet, thanks a lot for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is obviously a fun story and something that people, I think, are going to be real interested in hearing about. Let me just kind of start by having you tell where the heck the idea for this came from. That sounds like one of those things that people would sit around drinking a beer around a campfire or around the living room or whatever and say, hey, you know what would be fun is to do this, but nothing ever comes of it. How did this come about to actually become a real thing?
Well, I was looking for an adventure. I have some history of extreme sports adventures from my youth, and I've been kind of searching, and I've been getting into paddling quite a bit and making a lot of paddling friends, and one in particular just sort of watered a seed that was planted quite a while ago and got me thinking about being the first woman to paddle down the Mississippi River system from source to sea.
Now, I want to re-emphasize that the first woman ever to do this. How many people in general have done this clear from Montana down to New Orleans?
Well, starting at the source in the Centennial Mountains, there's only been three of us that have done it. Wow. Two gentlemen did it the year before in 2012. One was from Australia and one guy is from Canada, Mark Couch and Rod Wellington. So I'm the third one to start at the source and go all the way to the Gulf of Mexico.
Fantastic. Now, talk a little bit about your rig. When we say kayak, that could mean a lot of different things.
My kayak it's a tandem kayak. It's a carbon light material, and it's an open cockpit. So it was perfect for this expedition. I could pack a lot of gear in it and still have room in where I sit. A lot of the plastic molded kayaks have very small cockpits, so I was very happy with this boat. And also, this boat had already been down the Missouri River once, so I bought it from a gentleman that had paddled it the year before.
Fantastic. So you knew at least you had the proper equipment. Talk about a time frame. How long did this take from the very beginning till you reached the Gulf?
Well, I left town on April 14th a year ago, which was just a couple days ago. It was my anniversary. And originally, I had planned just to go to St. Louis last summer. And then this summer, I was going to go from St. Louis to the Gulf of Mexico and do it in two stretches. But somewhere on some lake up there in the Dakotas. I decided to go ahead and do it all in one shot, and I made it to the Gulf of Mexico on December 5th. So I think my friend counted 223 days. There was 3 weeks out of that that I was not paddling.
That's really remarkable. And you mentioned the fact that you're paddling. You're not just sitting there floating along and reading a book or whatever. This had to be pretty physically demanding a lot of times.
Well, it turned out to be much more than I anticipated. It took a lot of stamina because one-third of the Missouri River are lakes, and a couple of them are pretty substantial. One's 230 miles long, and another's 178 and 135. So there's no current on the lakes, and the wind seems to always blow in your face. So that's just typical. And so there was a lot of paddling involved, a lot of paddling.
We're talking with Janet Moreland. She took a trip from the headwaters of the Missouri River Basin in Montana to the Gulf of Mexico last year, about 3,800 miles in that ballpark?
Approximately, give or take, probably add on several hundred more, but that's insignificant.
In this case, over the course of the trip, just talk about the day-to-day, because there had to be times when it was a little dangerous and probably kind of thrilling, and there were probably times when it was just a little bit boring, and it's just stroke, stroke, stroke all day long.
Well, I enjoyed my mornings. I was not in a big hurry to take off in the mornings like a lot of gentlemen are that paddle the rivers on expeditions. So I would get up, and of course my coffee was the most important thing.
I bet.
And I didn't really do anything until I had my coffee, unless I was getting up to take pictures of sunrises, which I did quite often. I peeked out my tent first thing in the morning to see if there was any color in the sky. And if there was, I was out in a flash, and then the coffee, and then sometimes I'd go for short walks and just take my time. I usually didn't get started till around 10 o'clock in the morning. So,
all right.
That was my way of having a good time.
Excellent, excellent. By the way, if you're interested, there are a ton of photos on Janet's website. It's loveyourbigmuddy.com. She's also got a Facebook page that's got a lot of really interesting stuff and is continuing to be updated from time to time as well, even though the trip has finished. Janet Moreland is our guest, and I tell you what, in reading the blog, I wanted to talk about some of those moments that were really scary, or maybe get a really interesting story about some of the times when this was, as you say, an adventure. And really, to me, in reading it, the part that seemed like the scariest or the most adventuresome, if you want to look at it that way, was the very end of it, just getting into the Gulf of Mexico through southern Louisiana. And it sounds like you're really dodging some heavy stuff there.
Oh, that turned out to be surprisingly epic. We had fog dropped in on us, and that was something I never even considered. I don't know why. And that turned out, and we were in the shipping lane, so we had huge freighters coming up from the Southwest Pass. Now, we were trying to get through the head of passes to the South Pass, which is in the middle, but those freighters and tankers have to come right up and practically cross our path, so We were scared to death.
I bet.
A couple days, but just like a miracle, the fog lifted just when we needed it to lift. We were about ready to travel, guided by our GPS, and which is not something I wanted to do in the fog. But the fog lifted right at the right moment, and we had a window of time. We made it down to the Gulf, quickly did our celebratory speeches and champagne popping and dip in the water, and then we were heading back up, and we hit the fog again before we got back. But at least we made it. I'm not sure how the ending would have transpired had we not had that window of clearing.
That's got to be a little bit like riding a bicycle in the lane with the big trucks going by, I guess, or other ways one could think about that. Janet, talk about some of the other maybe just real exciting times that you had along the way there. I'm sure you had a few others besides the very end segment there.
On the lakes, it was always a challenge because the wind, you know, you have to be very careful of the wind. It can pick up in a moment's notice, especially those northern squalls that come out of nowhere.
Right.
And like a freight train, they'll just kick up huge swells. So you don't want to be caught out in the middle of the lake in one of those. And oftentimes it was paddle over to shore and cover up with a tarp and wait for the thunder and lightning to pass by. But So that was always exciting. But the lightning storms, I had a couple, two or three lightning storms that were just incredibly frightening. So, but I live to talk about it. Here
All
I
right.
am.
Okay, fantastic. Janet, I know that part of this is about having an adventure. Part of this is about, wow, this is really exciting. This is really fun. This is making the most of every day and living a life and all of that. There's got to be other reasons behind why you give 8 months to a trip like this.
Well, I do have some missions and purpose for my trip. I want to increase awareness of the Missouri River. As you know, the Missouri River is a focal point of our nation's cultural history. And I think that we've lost it in our education system a little bit in the curriculum. So I'd kind of like to bring the Missouri River back into the classroom. And then, of course, I'm very interested in outdoor classrooms. So we'd like to get kids out on the river all up and down the Missouri and the Mississippi and start this new generation thinking about the river systems and their watersheds and keeping them healthy and to ensure the future of our rivers are maintained and improved and don't fall by the wayside to pollution.
Sure. The Missouri River is where you find St. Louis, you find Jefferson City, you find some good-sized cities, but there's also a lot of little small towns along the river that are often really wonderful places. As you pull in at some of these places along the way, that had to have been an interesting experience to just come to a little stop there along the way, and they ask what you're doing, and you explain the story, and they've got to be a little shocked at what's going on here.
Yes, that was always really fun. I met so many wonderful people, and everyone along the way, once they found out what I was doing, were very interested in helping me be successful, and they would take care of me in any way that they possibly could, and it was very heartwarming, and some of my best memories of this trip were the people that I met along the way. We call them River Angels.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Janet Moreland, our guest again, her website, loveyourbigmuddy.com, and she's also on Facebook. Last year, completed a trip from the very headwaters of the Missouri River down to New Orleans, a trip from April to December of 2013. In fact, she took off just about this week a year ago. This has got to be a question that's a little like asking me which was my favorite out of a bag of M&Ms, but you had to have seen some really beautiful places, and probably because of the nature of this trip, some places that a lot of us don't ever get to see, especially from the perspective you saw. Was there any place or maybe a couple of places that you recall that you were just really taken by?
Well, yes, there are so many.
It's hard, right?
There are so many. There's, of course, right before you get to the channelized section of the Missouri River, where it's still running wild and free, that was a very special section of the river. And I didn't realize it until after I had dropped into the river, the channelized river.
Tell us where that is exactly.
So it's below Yankton and above Sioux City.
Yeah.
Right at Ponca State Park is where the channelized section starts. So just above that, the river was just beautiful. It was so wide and so free and just in its natural element. And I look back on that now and would like to do that section again. And then the Mississippi River, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I had this kind of dark, mysterious frame of mind, or not frame of mind, but...
That had to be a little foreboding, I guess, yeah.
I didn't know what to expect, and it turned out to be just the most lovely river with beautiful sandbars, and I don't have a problem with the tow and barges, so it was kind of fun having them cruise by every once in a while, and the water was swift, and it was just a delightful experience. So the Mississippi River turned out to be a wonderful portion of my trip.
Did you ever get the chance to interact much with the guys that were driving the great big boats and the barges and things like that up and down the river?
Well, we do have one local skipper from over near the Lupus area that he was posting on my page or commenting on my post. So once I found out he was on the river, that was very exciting because I mean, one of our local very owns on the river. So that was fun having him out there, and then meeting on Facebook, of course, a couple other river captains. But I never stopped and actually, one invited me into his boat one time, and I'm so sorry I didn't have time. I really wanted to go into a towboat wheelhouse.
Yeah, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it?
But they're not, the skippers on the boats, I had a radio, but I did mostly listening. Very, okay. Very rarely did I say anything unless... you know, they needed to know where I was for some reason. But until we got down to the Gulf, and the pilots down there were helping us get down to the Gulf of Mexico in the fog.
So, yeah, yeah.
We contacted them a couple times.
Nice. Janet Moreland, our guest. I'm interested. We were talking ahead of time about the fact that your family is from down in the Ozarks. You didn't really grow up along the river. Is this something that maybe you just were dreaming about as a kid, reading Huck Finn or whatever?
Well, my mother and father grew up in Southwest Missouri, but I grew up in California. So we had the American River ran right through Sacramento, That's where I lived. And I spent a lot of time on the river. We would go down there. I'd ride my bike down there in the morning and stay there till dinner time and just swim and play and hang out. My friends had homes near the river, so it was just a big part of my life. My brother was a huge fisherman, and my mom liked to fish, and I would go with them down to the river and just hang out. So I've been going to the river since I was very young, very comfortable with the rivers.
I want to ask you one final question as we're visiting with Janet Moreland here, and you addressed this a little bit earlier, but I'm really curious. Is this something you want to try again?
Oh, I would try it again in a heartbeat if I could. Unfortunately, I have financial obligations now.
Sure.
So, yes, I dream about it every day. In fact, there's a woman from San Francisco that just introduced me to the idea of maybe taking a group down the river up in the upper river. And so I'm going to start researching that and see about maybe doing some guiding. I mean, that would be perfect.
Janet, we want to thank you a lot. Again, the website, loveyourbigmuddy.com. You can also find out a lot more about the trip and find a lot of really great photos at Facebook at her site there as well. And whatever the current may carry you to next, best of luck.
Thank you very much. Yes.
All right, it's KBIA, your NPR station, Thinking Out Loud. And we've got a fun event coming up here in just a couple of weeks that we wanted to let you know about. The Missouri River Cultural Conservancy is going to be doing an evening over at the Blue Note, live music. There's going to be food and lots of fun with that to raise money for the Cultural Conservancy. And Vanessa Lietze is here with Mo River CC to talk a little bit more about that. Vanessa, welcome. First of all, thanks for coming out today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about this event coming up on May the 2nd and everything that's going on with that, because there's a lot that it really sounds like a fun event. But first of all, why don't you kind of explain what the Cultural Conservancy is and what MoRiv CC is all about?
Well, it's an organization dedicated to preserving all of the artistic culture that comes out of the Missouri River area all through central Missouri. There's a lot of musicians and artistry that goes on here, poetry readings and theater, and all of that needs to be documented so it's not lost forever. So they dedicate themselves to that. There's board members and about 12 volunteers that dedicate hundreds of hours every year to recording this stuff and talking with the artists and really making sure that they're heard. There's a YouTube website that we maintain. You can look at anything we've done. We hold two different fundraisers a year to raise money to keep going with this because it's a nonprofit organization based solely on volunteers. So they do really good work over there.
And I should mention, just kind of to give an example of the type of things that we're talking about on that YouTube page, and this is something that's been going on for a few years now. There are videos up there of a lot of the musicians from this region, mostly kind of headquartered around Cooper's Landing, which is a place for people that aren't familiar at Easley, Missouri, which is just a little bit south of Columbia and Cooper's Landing, a place out there that has live music a lot of days, including most weekends when the weather is nice out. And there's guys like Bob Dyer, Lee Ruth, a lot of the performers that have been around Mid-Missouri and some folks that have kind of traveled through there. But I understand, Vanessa, that the idea is kind of being tossed around of expanding it to being more than just the guys that come through Cooper's or the guys here in Columbia or the women that perform here in Columbia and kind of expanding it out further.
Yeah. We just got offices located downtown now, so that will allow us to expand a little bit more across the region. So the idea would be to start maybe visiting places like Herman or Boonville, sending our cameramen out there to start videotaping some of the original music and arts that go on in all different kinds of places. We've got more volunteers now. If we're able to raise enough money, we'll be able to purchase more cameras to allow people to get to more locations and really get into the culture of this river and start preserving it.
We're talking with Vanessa Lietza with Missouri River Cultural Conservancy. Again, the fundraiser happening May 2nd. That's a Friday evening at the Blue Note. Doors are going to open up about 6:30 with music starting at 7 o'clock. If you want to find out more about the organization, the website is morivcc.org. Or you can just go to YouTube and search for that same term, MoRivCC. And like I said, a lot of videos up there already, and it's something that's kind of expanding over time. I guess I should mention in the interest of full disclosure that I am involved with this group and have done some of the camera work myself and like hanging out at Cooper's and having a cold beverage and watching the music myself on a weekend from time to time. But the event coming up on May 2nd, this is going to be a lot of fun. And just, Vanessa, talk a little more about what's happening that day and what's going on.
Well, the doors are going to open at 6:30. We'll show some of the original videos that MoRivCC has recorded for about 30 minutes. Tanner Bechtel is hosting for us. We've got several guest stars that will be appearing throughout the show. Janet Moreland and one of our favorite musicians in Columbia, Michael Cochran, will be there.
Awesome.
He'll get a special nod. There's going to be a raffle, and one of our raffle prizes is a private concert donated by Michael Cochran. It would be a three-hour show at your home or at a banquet, or if you're having a christening for your daughter, he is donating a completely free show. That'll be a raffle item. We'll have Como Dough Pizza truck outside, right out the front door, so that you can step outside, grab some food. The Blue Note will allow you to bring that back into the music festival since there's no food available there. We'll have drink specials and just a lot of fun information booths and merchandise from the bands. We've got four bands going, along with Tanner Bechtel, who will be doing a special performance for us. Catnip Mouse Band, which is Michael Cochran's band, will be performing along with River Ghost Review, Acoustic Anonymous out of St. Louis, and We Live in Public. So really
fantastic.
Great music planned.
Well, I know that Catnip Mouse Band is some guys that have been playing together for quite a while. I think John DiAgostino is part of that group,
yes,
if I remember correctly. And so they're just terrific. There's going to be a lot of great music. Again, it's happening May 2nd. They'll open doors up and start playing about 6:30. The music itself will start about 7 o'clock, and that's going to be over at the Blue Note. Again, you can get information about the organization at morivcc.org. Vanessa, you mentioned a new office, and talk a little bit about where that is and what's happening with that, because I know that is something that they've wanted for a long time, is just to have a headquarters other than out at the river at the landing.
Yeah, we really felt that by getting an office located in the district downtown, it would not only spread awareness for Missouri River Cultural Conservancy's mission, but also just be more centrally located for the board members. Gets it out of Cooper's Landing to allow for our idea of expanding not just at Cooper's Landing, but all along the river. It's just a little more neutrally located for everyone. And we feel like we'll be able to get downtown and start spotlighting some of the original music downtown as well. So just kind of moves it away from Cooper's Landing a little bit and into more of the general public's eye.
Let me ask you this, just to put the idea out there as something that we can discuss. Talk about why it is important to preserve this, because every place has local music, and talk about what's special about the music of the Missouri River Valley here as opposed to the music of the upper Idaho Panhandle or Southern California or Eastern Pennsylvania or whatever.
Well, I would never discredit any of the music coming out of those places, but
sure.
Here, these people really believe in their music. It's been spanning for generations. I've watched out at Cooper's Landing during my time there, the younger musicians learning from the older musicians, some of the old styles of music, the way it used to be. And unless these musicians gain national recognition in the way of record deals, it's important to preserve it. If we don't preserve it, it's lost. Some of the future generations may not have been able to hear someone like Michael Cochran or even Jerome Wheeler, who was also another main player in the music scene here in Columbia. Without those recordings, we would never hear them again.
Well, and some of these guys who were just so terrific, you mentioned Jerome, we talked about Bob earlier, Bob Dyer, and guys that are no longer with us, and the fact that their music is being preserved. And there's also, there's not just a sound from the Missouri River Valley. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on just within the area that we're talking about. Boonville's got a lot of wonderful singer-songwriter types, folky types, to use a generic categorization that really doesn't completely fit, but a lot of guys that were sort of in the Bob Dyer tree. And then you mentioned Herman, which has a completely different thing going on, and a lot of the German music because of the cultural influences there. So there's a lot of different things going on along the way here.
Yeah, absolutely, there is. And one of the interesting things, we have a term for, we call a large group of people out at Cooper's Landing, we call them Riverbillies.
Yes.
That's what I would really categorize this music as, almost like there's no specific genre for this music. It's sort of a blend of folk and bluegrass and fiddle work and amazing instrument playing abilities.
Sure.
That all makes up this incredible sound that I you know, I'm from Chicago. I've never heard this type of music before, and it should be preserved. I just really believe in this organization.
Well, and there's a lot of you know, different things going on there. We had Flood Brothers on our program a couple of weeks ago, and I saw them out there, and it's just one guy with a guitar and one guy with a pretty simple trap kit, a drum kit, yeah. And blues and rock and roll and just some awesome playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys that are just here in our town that wouldn't get the recognition and certainly wouldn't be remembered later or preserved for posterity's sake without this group.
Absolutely, yeah. And these musicians are just as serious about their music as anyone living anywhere else. They're very serious. It's a lifestyle for them. They're not just picking at a guitar string. They're really trying to spread a message. So I think it's important that they're heard.
Remind us where the office is. If there's anybody that's hearing this and going, wow, yeah, right on, I want to go help out with that, let them know how they get plugged in.
It's located at Cherry Street downtown. You can go to morivcc.org and check us out there. There's contact phone numbers on there. You can also call 573-657-2544 to find out how to get involved. Check out our Facebook page for ways to volunteer. If you want to volunteer at the Blue Note benefit coming up, we still have room for that. And we have another fundraiser coming up in September, which is a whole lot of fun out at Cooper's Landing, and we still need volunteers for that as well. So there's a lot of ways to get involved.
May 2nd, again, is the date, a Friday night. They'll open up at 6:30, start the tunes at 7 o'clock, and run until about midnight or whenever we run out of gas or they kick us out of there. And again, that's happening at the Blue Note on 9th Street in downtown Columbia. MoRivCC.org is the website, or you can check them out on YouTube, MoRivCC. And Vanessa Lietza, we thank you a lot. We'll see you out at Cooper's Landing, and then we'll see you at May 2nd at the Blue Note.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. We'll see you all there.
We've got very little time. There's a lot of photos, by the way, of Janet Moreland's trip at our website, kbia.org, on the Thinking Out Loud page. We're back next Tuesday with another Thinking Out Loud. Till then, for Trevor Harris, I'm Darren Helwedge. Have a great evening.